Welcome to the Voice of Florida Architecture, a podcast of AIA Florida. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, and we're coming to you today from the AIA Florida Annual Convention and Trade Show in beautiful downtown Tampa, Florida. We have a very distinguished guest with us today, Mickey Jacob, FAIA. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. What an honor to be with you. This is outstanding.
Great. Thank you so much. So for the most part, our AIA Florida family doesn't need an introduction, but for those that may not know what an incredible advocate you are for them, I'd like to share just a few little tidbits.
Okay.
You were the 2004-2005 AIA Florida president. You were AIA national president in 2013. You're a member of College of Fellows. And I understand that you are more affectionately known as Diane Jacob's husband.
That is absolutely true.
Would you care to elaborate a little bit on that one?
My wife Diane is one of the most prominent businesswomen in our community and in the state. And she has a profile here that's just been amazing. And she's been really my leadership mentor all these years and my biggest supporter, sometimes my harshest critic. One of the reasons I'm sitting here, a lot of that has to do with Diane. So yeah, she's really amazing, and she really has recognition in this community for all she's done.
That's wonderful. So you call Tampa your home, part of AIA Tampa Bay. And I've shared that Tampa has been undergoing some significant transformation in recent years with a strong focus on economic and cultural growth, affordable housing and urban development and revitalization, all in efforts to improve the livability of the city. You've been instrumental in that transformation, I understand. You were the board chair of the Downtown Partnership. Tell us about your work there and the impact on the city.
Well, interestingly, I've been involved with the partnership since 1985 when it was originally founded as a business organization to really look at how downtown businesses could advocate for good development, for advocating for building the city, for making it more livable. At that time, there was literally no residential downtown. Our mayor used to joke that, you know, we had 200 downtown residents. They were all in the jail. And so it evolved over the years. And it's part of the special services district. That it's an overlay district for downtown Tampa. And they take a portion of the millage from the property taxes there that funds what we do. And we have a contract with the city, and we put on events for the city as well. That's part of it. We have a clean team that really does a great job in picking up debris and litter. We have downtown guides that help, you know, our architects while they're here and help direct them when they're out looking at things in the city. And we also really work on advocacy for things that are going on, especially in the state legislature, that really affects, what cities are doing and decisions. So it's a big job. We put on big events like Boom by the Bay, which is our big July the 4th fireworks. We do the River of Green on St. Patrick's Day, where we dye the river green, and we get thousands of people downtown. And it's really, really wonderful how it has evolved into a piece of this city that really continues to promote the city but provide experiences for the residents.
That's so nice. When I was teaching a few years back, I brought a group of students down to explore the downtown Tampa, the Water Street District. And on the way back, I was waiting at the bus for everybody to come back, and one of the students says, "Everybody's smiling here. They're so happy. I want to live here." And I thought that was such an astute observation coming from a student. So I think all your efforts have paid off.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it is a wonderful place to live, and it continues to evolve. And we're right in the middle of it here at the JW Marriott for the convention. Water Street is just a block away, and the energy there and the evolution of the kinds of things that make cities great is really what it's all about. And we've been very lucky that, you know, Jeffrey Vinnick, who's the owner of the hockey team here of the Tampa Bay Lightning, was really the catalyst for that and the initial investor, and the work that he's done in doing that. I would tell you very few cities, you know, can experience somebody like him. It's been pretty amazing.
That's nice. Speaking of our convention, I understand that The attendance this year has beat the record from last year, and I just checked earlier today, and we're a little over 900 attendees. Yes, that's phenomenal. So share what it means to Tampa Bay and to you being your home to host the convention here.
Well, it's thrilling. It's been a while since we've had one. And I think it's a testament to the kind of city that Tampa has become. Architects want to come and visit. You know, from Water Street to the Riverwalk to what's going on at Harbor Island to the outlying communities that we have around to USF, the aquarium. All of those things have really all come together to make the city very energetic. And I think people realize that. And we have a lot of world-class architecture here. We have a lot of world-class technology. I think there was a tour that went on this morning at Tampa General looking at the aquafence. That was such an integral part of keeping Tampa General Hospital dry during the hurricanes last year. So there's just so much going on here, and it just continues to grow. Yeah, it's really exciting to live here, and I think that's why a lot of people smile all the time.
Yes, they were smiling. So I've started tradition on the podcast by asking guests to share their journey to becoming an architect. Tell us about yours.
Oh, my. So I was a geeky kid. I remember asking my mom to call the high school when I was in the eighth grade to ask him what classes I should take when I was in the ninth grade so I could be an architect. I don't know why. I always wanted to be. Always known. Always loved it. I used to have kind of aging myself, I had a pocket Instamatic camera, if you remember those. And I would go around town and I would take pictures of buildings, but you know, it didn't have a wide angle, so you had to take like five or six pictures, get them developed, and then I would scotch tape them together on the floor of the basement and put them up on the wall. Yeah, I just loved it all the time. I had this, I don't know what it was, but I felt like I was born to be an architect, and I was lucky enough to be able to achieve that.
To do it. So you're also a member of the College of Fellows. Talk to us about being elevated to fellowship.
One of the single coolest things ever in my career. My career path, I was able to do things that I could be considered for the college is something you don't realize until somebody kind of points it out to you, right? I don't think about it. And the experience of putting it together, Jim Anstis was my sponsor, and the process was so detailed and so in-depth and needed to be thought so carefully on how you did it. Again, that was a learning experience, but you learned a lot about yourself. You learned how to tell the story of yourself. And I will tell you that walking up to get that Bellow medal around your neck is just the coolest thing ever.
Where was your ceremony?
I was in San Francisco at the Grace Cathedral on Nob Hill.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really a spectacular venue. Yeah, we're very lucky.
So looking back at your contributions to the profession and our association and getting to know you somewhat over the last few years, leadership has been a common thread throughout your career. Share your path along the lines of leadership and how leadership became such a primary focus for you.
You know, you start somewhere, and I joined AIA in 1982 as a young associate right out of school. And one of the first things I did with AIA Tampa Bay, which was then the Florida Central Chapter of the American Institute of Architects, and we did something called Ask an Architect, where we sat at Tampa Bay Mall on a Saturday and Sunday in the middle of the mall at drafting cables, and did kind of a little competition, and people would come up and ask questions. And I realized then I met people that I didn't know, who were other young architects like myself and young associates, and you started to build relationships, and it was a lot of fun. So I've always found that if you say yes to something, if somebody asks you to do something and you say yes, in all likelihood, they're gonna ask you again. And if you say yes again, they're gonna ask you another time, then others are gonna start. And if you keep saying yes, then you'll find yourself in really interesting situations and start to evolve into leadership positions, because people look at you as a leader when you start to do that. So my model is always just say yes.
Just say yes. So at a presentation, I believe it, It may have been in Boston. I'm not certain. I'm recalling the city. But you mentioned some, as architects, we're problem solvers. But you made a comment of getting to the root of the root of the problem. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's called the cause of the cause.
Cause of the cause. Tell us about that.
When I was first on the national board, we had a public member, Dr. Richard Jackson from California, UCLA. And he's a pediatrician. And his whole research was all about how health affects communities. So how design affects health. And if we design our communities effectively, so they become healthier, walkable, your schools are close by, you have neighbors, you have good sidewalks, you're able to connect with people, that your community becomes healthier. And he believed that if you designed your communities correctly, we could eradicate childhood obesity within a generation.
A generation.
We could eradicate childhood obesity. Now think about the impact that has on a community, on livability, on productivity, on people being to achieve their goals because they are healthier. And so it was an amazing thing, and I've always tried to take that. And he always said, you have to look at what the cause of something is, and you address the problem at the cause of the cause.
You could change the trajectory of someone's life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, you were AIA Florida president. Tell us about AIA Florida and your goals at that time.
Well, at the time, we were really focused a lot on advocacy. There was a lot of issues going on, especially with licensure, not just like now. So I took on the presidency in, I think, July 1 of 04, because we had a situation where Bill Bishop and I had to split the year between us. And I was really focused on advocacy, and then all of a sudden we had four hurricanes hit the state of Florida within 6 weeks at the time, and it sort of changed everything in what we focused on. So suddenly we really became focused on how do we respond, how do we help our members, how do we help communities. It really started some of the disaster preparedness training that we do now. And it was one of those things that, you know, a situation that came about really changed what we were focused on, but in the end, it really made us a stronger organization because we really were able to adapt because of something we had to react to.
Mm-hmm. I remember the storms that year, and they were ferocious.
Yeah, Charlie, Jean, Francis, I can't remember the other one.
That's what you did better
than me
there.
Ingrained in me. Yeah, it was quite the challenge, and we had a lot of members who were affected by it, right? So helping members out, I remember that. What we did is we created a program where firms could host other firms on their server, firms that got really affected by the storm for, you know, looting offices and stuff like that. So we had this whole network of firms that helped other firms, you know, start to recover and be able to host them and get their, ability to practice back.
Nice. Again, that network, that family.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell us about being the AIA national president. Your year was 2013.
It was a very intense year. We were just coming out of the first part of the repositioning program that AIA National put into place. One of the things that I took on as president was to change the governance structure. And as you know, change isn't always as easy as you hope it is. It was hard. It was hard to do, but we did it. And we did it because it made us better. Mm-hmm. I also did a lot of traveling and advocating and a lot of international travel, which was really fun. You get to meet people. So the thing that really made it special was the people that you were able to meet and build relationships with. And I like to quasi joke that there's not many cities I can fly into where I can't pick up a phone and call an architect that I've met, right? And so, but it's a, you know, the president is a very intense year. I was on the road 256 days that year.
Wow.
Yeah, 140 different trips. So it was a wild year. But also being able to understand how AIA National works and the responsibilities that it has, and then trying to look at how do we communicate that down into the network. Because most of our members, really their experience is at the local and the state level.
Did it change how you saw AIA Florida needing to govern itself or change its resources or its membership opportunities?
Well, I think, you know, the whole thing with AIA Florida was doing what we've always done and continue to dedicate ourselves to be as excellent as we can. Now, I've gone to a lot of conventions, component conventions, state conventions. I've gone to a lot of design awards, a lot of rubber chicken dinners. I will tell you, and I tell this to everyone, that AIA Florida does it better than anybody else in this, in our AIA network. And that's a testament to our leadership like yourself. It's a testament to Becky, who's
Absolutely.
Sitting over here with us behind the scenes. It's a testament to Vicki Long before us. And one of the things, and I think Becky, you may have been a part of this, is that we had a stretch where we were getting a lot of component awards like every year at Grassroots, right? We get a Component Excellence Award, and I was getting some grief from some of my colleagues around the country, and I just say to them, hey, too bad, man. You know, we're the best. We're winning these awards because we have dedicated ourselves to excellence, and we hold each other to that standard.
That makes me even more proud to have been a part of it. So you mentioned Vicki Long. She led the association for 17-plus years. I got to meet Vicki before she retired. I understand that she was the first female executive vice president for Florida, and you were part of that selection committee that hired her. Tell us about that impact, that decision to make that change.
Well, it was very easy because she was obviously the best candidate. And like anything that I certainly believe in, we looked at the quality of the person, how they conducted themselves, what they were all about. And when you make those decisions, then yes, we were able to hire the first woman. And we were proud of that, but it wasn't about that, right? It was about who she was and what she could do for us. And she was obviously the strongest candidate. And we were just thrilled that we were able to get her. And like we talked off camera a little bit, you know, you build a relationship. Vicki has evolved into one of my best friends over the years. We've worked on so many things together, and yeah, it was a grand adventure. But she took us to the next level, and we could see that in her and in her presentation to us when we were interviewing her. You know, we understood that she had the capability to get us to the next level we really wanted to get to.
So she was part of the Excellence Awards, the National Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's testament.
And the really lovely part of it, she was on my executive committee when I was AIA National President. So she was the case representative on the executive committee. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. So she was there with you.
She was there with me, yeah.
That's even better. So that made it a really strong Florida presence.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so as I mentioned, leadership is a strong focus in your life. For those that don't know, you are the Jacob in our Jacob Leadership Institute. The JLI launched its program in 2019, and it has now graduated 99 students. Were you aware of that?
I didn't know it was 99. How cool is that?
I know. And I was one of the inaugural attendees, along with our president-elect, Adam Gale. He was one of my cohorts. The program now has a waiting list to participate each year. So we've organized a selection committee. So talk to me about why you felt it was important to institute this program for AIA Florida.
So leadership is a journey. And when you can help people build their leadership skill sets, you help them attain positions, you help them build the confidence in it. And the important thing is that it doesn't matter what position it is, right? It could be AIA Florida president, like yourself. It could be something in the AIA, but it's just as important if it's the downtown partnership or the Chamber of Commerce or your local Little League. Doesn't matter. What matters is it's architects out there in the community being leaders, which gives us bigger visibility. It builds, I think, respect that you get in the community, which makes us be able to penetrate the marketplace deeper, and you get more recognition for what you do. So ultimately, it helps you in your personal life, it helps you in your professional life, it helps you in your service life. And when you can do that, you're just serving architecture on the level that we really deserve to serve it at.
I love that. The best part is that we get to do the graduation at convention every year. I think that's lovely.
That is fun. It's really a lot of fun.
So the practice of architecture itself is facing many upcoming challenges. The impact of AI, we had a session at the convention this morning. Alternate paths to licensure, deregulation, the erosion of CCNA protections, I could go on. What advice would you give to practicing architects facing these challenges?
So we have to really look at what we are as a profession. We like you said, we face a lot of challenges and we face a lot of competition. We have to go out there and do what we do best, and that's create communities and make them safe, healthy, and livable for everybody. That's our goal, that's what we do, that's what we have to market ourselves as, that's what we have to sell. And you do that, and leadership's an incredibly important part of that, being out there and telling that story. And I don't think we as a profession, quite honestly, and that's where the AIA can come in, is that we don't tell our story as effectively as we probably could. And so it's one of the things I think we can focus on. I think the other thing, too, is really looking at, I had a friend of mine who used to say this. He said, you know, what you have to do in any business, any profession, is you have to stay away from the fads, right? You have to stay ahead of the trends, and you stay true to your principles. And that's what we have to look at from the AIA. So how do we stay ahead of the trends? AI, right? How do we do the research necessary and be able to utilize that to the best advantage for our members, to help them in the marketplace, help them be more competitive, help them be more profitable, and prosperity across the board, which helps everyone, right? We all grow from that. And then make sure we understand what our principles are as we as a group go out and make our communities better and really stay true to those principles, and then tell the story.
Tell the story. We are good at telling stories.
Yeah, and we should be better, though.
From your point of view, what makes AIA relevant? Why should an upcoming architect or associate join?
Well, it's all about people like yourself that choose to be a part of this and be passionate about it and enthusiastic and energetic. You always want to be around people like that. And I think the AIA does that. And it gives you an opportunity to go out and poke outside of your typical daily bubble that you live in and challenge you with new experiences, but you also get to meet people you normally wouldn't meet. I like to call it the unintended social collisions that you have because you choose to participate. Mm-hmm. And you run into people you normally wouldn't run into, and you get to know them, whether they're architects or outside of architecture, and you build a network of trust that people will come to you for things, and that's when you start to say yes. So it all kind of connects together, but the AIA is a wonderful tool to do that because we give you an opportunity to be able to participate in whatever it is you're interested in the profession. And then it's all about how can you make it better? And yeah, so many, we have 900 plus of those kinds of people That's here exactly. with us right now, and the brain power, energy, enthusiasm, the ideas, all of that with all those people, that's a very powerful group that, you know, we can really achieve a lot of goals if we focus it the right way, and that's where the AIA comes in.
Nice. Thank you for that. Mickey Jacob, FAIA, we're on the eve of you being bestowed the James H. Anstis FAIA Lifetime Achievement Award. Why give a lifetime?
Because that's what you have to give. You know, if you can look back and say, you know, I made a difference. It doesn't matter what. If you make a difference, then you've really achieved something that makes life worth living, right? Now trust me, it's very daunting when somebody says, you're going to get a lifetime achievement award, right? That's like, oh my goodness, I guess I have been around a long time. Yes. But in particular, because it's the James Ansis Award, Jim was one of my mentors and really one of the people who's responsible for me sitting here with you today.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, he not only did he sponsor me for fellowship, he was the one guy who really pulled me aside and said, you know, you can really make a difference if you want to. I can help you. I never forget, we were flying to San Francisco, and I can't even remember what year it was, for the AIA National Convention. We were on the same flight. And I was sitting there, and it was my first convention, so it was like 1990-something, I think. And he came over to me and on the flight, and we chatted for about an hour on the flight, just standing in the aisle, and he was telling me all about his experiences, why they were important, how I could have those same kind of experiences if I really wanted to, and I really committed myself to being a part of the AIA and committed to taking on leadership positions, and how many people would be out there to support you and help you. And there is. We're an incredible network here of people who just help each other all the time to be better and achieve their goals. And that was all part of it with what the award is. And I'm incredibly proud. I'm sure I'm gonna cry tomorrow night when I'm up there, but it's—
I'll be with you.
Yeah, thank you, I'm glad you will be. But it's really an honor for me, and I just can't believe that this is happening. You know, it's just unbelievable. You know, and I think that at the end of the day, right, when you can look somebody in the eye and say, I think that you have the potential to be something, let me help you get there. You can mentor someone, encourage them, support them, and that's part of what the Jacob Leadership Institute is about, is we have these people that come in from all levels in their career path, right? I mean, we have people who are very early on, we have people who have been practicing for decades. It's always good to continue to build your leadership skill sets. It doesn't matter where you are in your career. And so that's all part of it. How do we help people do that? How do we position them? How do we identify people who have the ability and the enthusiasm, the energy to become leaders, and position them and support them and help them and get them where they want to go? And that makes it all worthwhile.
That's why you're getting the award.
Well, thank you.
Is it even more special that it's here in home?
Yeah, wow, what a coincidence, right?
Yes.
It's, way cool. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife has, you know, made sure a lot of people know about it. Of course she would. My best friend, you know, Jeff Potter, who was the 2012 AI National President, is here for it. You know, it's a celebration, but I look at it, it's a celebration of all of us, because I'm not here without everybody. You know, everybody out here at this convention has been a part of this journey. And it's because of them and all of us working together. I just happened to be fortunate to be at the right place at the right time with some of the things we did. But yeah, it's you know, it's a big community of people, and that's what I love about it.
I'm very proud that I get the opportunity to be a part of it, because it's my last design award ceremony, and it's here. And you got the award. I was just so tickled when I heard that. That's very special.
It's going to be fun to be up there with you.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. So it has been my honor to get to know you these few years. I want to thank you for your leadership for AIA Florida, for the architects across our country and across the globe, and most importantly, the architects coming up, the architects of the future, with what JLI can do for them. Just thank you for your leadership. And congratulations on your award.
Well, thanks. That means a lot to me coming from you. And thank you for all you've done. You know, you've been a great leader, and It's because of you, it's because of Becky, it's because of all the staff here, all our architects. That's what makes AI Florida great. And like I said before, I brag on this all the time across the country. People are sick of me talking about it, my colleagues around the country, but I do, and we should. You know, it's an honor for me to be a part of it, and it's really fun to be able to tell everybody all the amazing things that we accomplish here because of all the people like yourself that dedicate yourselves to the standard of excellence that just makes us better than everybody, and it's really been a fun ride.
Great. Thank you so much. Well, you're not going anywhere.
No, you're kind of stuck with me.
Well, thank you. This is Rhonda Hammond, AIA, your host. Thank you for listening to this episode, The Voice of Florida Architecture, a podcast brought to you by AIA Florida.